Amen. I'm going to start out by reading something. I'm going to start reading right now. It says this. Is it true that if you go to hell, you will eventually get out? It's true. Believers will go to paradise after being punished for their sins in hellfire. It could be a million years. It could be a billion years. It could be a trillion years. Allah knows. Allah knows how long it will be. But the question is, what is a believer? Immediately, the one who does not pray is not a believer. He will go to hell for eternity. One of the minimum forms of submission you must do is to attend the 5 daily prayers. And a person who does not pray is not a believer. So the title of my sermon is simply this: A Billion Years in Hell. A Billion Years in Hell. And it was inspired, as you can tell, by a Muslim false preacher. You know, because we don't believe that people will be in hell for a billion years. We believe people will be in hell for all eternity. And this is bad news for the Muslims. I mean, how could you look forward to death? Because here's what he said. Their believers, their followers, Islam, Muslims, whatever you want to call them. He said this. This is the preacher. This isn't some goofball that just got up teaching on Islam. No, this is a guy I saw on YouTube when I was just wondering, what do Muslims believe about hell? Like, what's up with them? I'm like, surely they must believe that you have to work, you know, your way to heaven. You have to pray, do good, follow whatever, follow commandments, follow Moses, follow whatever. That stuff I kind of knew, because every false religion believes that. You name that false religion. Jehovah's Witnesses, Muslims, Catholics, we're talking about Islam here, whatever. They all have one thing in common. They believe you have to earn your way into heaven. You have to be good, live a good life, keep the commandments, whatever. That's the difference between Christianity and false religions, cults, whatever you want to call them. The Bible, real Christianity, teaches that God gave up his life so that we can go to heaven. What do they teach? You have to give up your life so you can go to heaven. You have to live right, do good, etc., etc. But what does the Bible say? All your works of righteousness are as filthy rags to God if you're trying to earn salvation. That's how high and mighty he is. And we all come short, not fall short. We come short of the glory of God. We're nothing. Nothing compared to how he is. He's so high, so mighty, so holy, so righteous that he says, you know what? All the good deeds that you've done, filthy rags to me. It's like going to a luxury car dealership and trying to buy a Ferrari, a $1.5 million Ferrari. I don't know which one costs $1.5 million, but they're high up there. Or a Bugatti. I know they cost about $3 million starting, right? Anybody knows a little bit about sports cars? A Bugatti, about $3 million. Imagine I go to a Bugatti dealership. And it's like, what's up, man? I want to pay for this thing. With what? With the suitcase full of money. Boom, I pop it open, and it's all Monopoly money. I'm like, hey, that's $3 million right there. He's like, sir, this is Monopoly money. Get out of here with this stupid, dumb crap. You know, that's how silly it is when it comes to us, the true God, trying to earn our way by living a good life, by being perfect, by praying, or whatever the case may be. But this guy, I mean, if you watch the video, he's very arrogant. Like, he literally says, it could be a million. Could be a billion. I thought he was stuffed there. He's like, could be a trillion. Who knows? Kind of like, who cares? It's like, does he not stop and think about what he's teaching? Even if you spend 1 hour in hell, 1 hour. I mean, we stayed in a hotel and it's pretty humid. And so when we were leaving, I was like, man, it's pretty humid here. It's kind of hot. And I kind of said this to my daughter. How would you like to be in this type of condition for the rest of your eternity? You know, be like, no, this is too sweaty. This ain't fun. And I'm talking about just being humid. Now, talk about being in front of an oven. Who's ever been kind of like in front of an oven where like heat comes out, you know? And I'm just like, whoo, I could barely keep my eyes open. I kind of have to back away right away. Who has ever experienced that before, right? That's some serious heat. Well, the Bible says the day of the Lord is like an oven, in flaming fire, taking vengeance of them that know not God. But this guy is just like, could be a trillion. Only Allah knows. Like, a trillion is like nothing? Seriously? In hell, a trillion? But he didn't say some Muslims. The question was, do believers go to hell and will they get out? The answer is yes. Every believer. I didn't know this. Did you guys know that? I had no clue. And this is a video that's from 2018. A guy answering that question. Will believers go to hell? That was the question. Will believers go to hell? So he does a video about 5 minutes long explaining, yeah, you will. Every believer. That's what he says. Every believer will go to paradise after being punished. After being punished for their sins in hellfire. That's what they believe, I guess. And I'm thinking, no way. Search another video. Yep. Search another one. I'm like, yep. I knew they believe in work salvation. I just didn't realize that they all believe that they're going to have to go to hell first. What kind of a blessed hope is that? Your children. That's just ridiculous. So what I'm quickly going to cover, just a refreshment, and then I'm going to explain why I'm preaching on this. You know, I kind of want to blame it on my daughter. I'm like, honey, I want to preach on something. You know, these are two things that have been bugging me. One is hell, two is false prophets, and maybe I gave her another one. I don't know. So what should I preach on? None, Dad. Preach on the hyena versus the lion. I'm like, what? The hyena versus the lion? It's a sermon on mental toughness. It's just quickly a sermon on mental toughness. I'm like, nah, I kind of see your point. Yeah, something new. I've been here before, preached on hell. Maybe I should. But she's like, no, Daddy, you need to preach on hell. Remember what happened to that Mormon guy recently? Because we went on so many, we had this experience with this Mormon guy. I'm like, you know what? You're right. Because what I like to do is I like my sermons to be kind of like a good YouTube video. A good YouTube video. You're like, what are you talking about? Have you guys ever watched like a YouTube video and towards the end, like a little survey pops up? You know, was this video informative? You know, life-changing. Who's seen those before? Right? Informative. Life-changing. Calming. Who's seen those? Hey, that's how I want to be. It's like heartwarming, useful, inspiring. Right? And that's what I want my sermons to be. Yeah, I want them to be life-changing, informative, heartwarming, useful, inspiring, and calming. Here's your calming. We're never going to go to hell if you believe. That's your calming. We're never going to see it. Well, we might see people getting cast into it, but I mean, we're not going to be in it. We're not going to be in it ever. We're going to be straight in heaven, coming down, millennium, eternity. Hey, that's something to look forward to. That's the blessed hope. And God, when he returns, he's not going to take flaming fire on every single believer like the Muslims teach their believers. It says in flaming fire, taking vengeance of them that know not God. That's who he's coming down to punish with flaming fires. So I'm going to quickly cover, where is hell? What is hell? What is the length of hell? Who deserves hell? What to do to be saved from hell? And it's not that I don't believe you guys aren't saved. It's just that I'm going to cover that in a way that will help you with your soul winning. Because you guys are soul winners, right? Amen. You guys go soul winning. I understand. I believe that. I just want to help you be a little bit better soul winners than you were before. Because this happened to me. So I'm just going to put this up here because I'm going to use it for a little bit. And every good independent fundamental King James Baptist, soul winning Baptist church always have one of these. Right. Amen. Always. So let's start. Where is hell? Well, if you have your Bibles, so I'll give you some time. Go to Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 15:24. Proverbs 15:24, I got a plane to catch. Got to start boarding at 9:45. So I'm going to try to leave here by 8:30. Should give me enough time, right? I need some wise counsel. Would that be enough? I finish at 8:30, get the Uber here by 8:45. I should be good, right? Yep. All right, should be good. Boarding's at 9:45. 30 minutes there. Blow through the line, hopefully, right? I'm not going to miss it, or am I going to miss it? Because I'm going to miss it, we'll be done in about 20 minutes. All right, brother, take the sermon, roll with it. All right, well, double sermons. So already 8 minutes into it. So I promise to stop. My goal is to stop at 8 o'clock. I see that nice big clock in every independent fundamental King James, only King James, Soul Winning Baptist Church should have one of these, one of those big gigantic clocks. Amen, brother, love it, love it. So we got Proverbs 15:24. What do we see? We see this. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Beneath. So where is hell? We know that it's beneath something. It's beneath something. And I kind of quickly Googled, where do Muslims believe hell is at? See, that's why the Bible is so superior to any other book. It tells you where hell is, what it looks like, who's going there, why, and how to escape it. It gives us a lot of things. But the Bible does a lot more than that. It teaches you how to prosper, how to live a long life. People are searching, oh, what is the secret to longevity? And the Bible gives it to you in many places. I'm not going to go over it because I'm going to keep it a secret. But if you read it, it tells you, does it not? Who knows what I'm talking about? Google that phrase, long life. Oh, you'll find out the secret of living a long life. You'll find out a lot about that. Forget about this fountain of youth people are thinking is out there. But the Bible does tell us how to live a long life. But what do we see? That hell is what? Beneath. So Islam says that it's beneath the clouds, beneath the heavens. Oh, well, that's pretty good, huh? Well, it says right here that it's beneath. I believe, talking about beneath our feet. And we'll go into it a little bit more. If you got the Bible, go ahead and go to Isaiah 14:9. Go to Isaiah 14:9. I'm going to read from 2 Peter 2:4. It says this, for if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Keep going to Isaiah 14:9. I'm going to go to Isaiah 40:22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. This is why I got this bad boy here. and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Well, here's what I'm going to quickly bring up. If you're right there in Isaiah 14:9, it says it again. Hail! Hail from beneath. Beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. So I believe that hell is beneath. You're like, duh. Well, what does it mean by that? What do you mean hell beneath? Here's what I believe. I believe that the earth is a globe. Tracking? Everything. I believe it. Here's the thing. Some people don't. Some believe it's like flat like a pizza. Flat earth, right? Well, here's the problem with that. If truly the earth is flat, then this verse, beneath, depart from hell beneath, you know, we'll talk about the bottomless pit in a second, couldn't really apply to them. Because what they're basically saying is simply this, that hell, we believe that our version of earth, you know, the flat earth, it has hell as well. I'm like, well, where is it? It's in the heart. Like where it says that Jesus was in the heart of the earth. It's in the heart. So you're talking about the middle? Yeah, I'm talking about the middle. Okay, fine. I'll give you that. Flat, hell in the middle somewhere. So that means that they can literally travel all the way to the edge where supposedly they have these ice walls, you know. And they send me pictures of ice walls. And their pictures of ice walls that I've been sent are like 300 feet high. I was like, well, excuse me, Mount Everest is 30,000 or about 29, close to 30,000 feet up. So in order to, guess what, overflow that sucker, overflow Mount Everest, the flood has to be over 30,000, not 330,000 feet. I want to see an ice wall that's 30,000 feet. Hey, I'll give you 15,000 feet. Has anybody ever taken a picture of an ice wall? I Googled. Nobody has a picture of ice walls. But the flat earthers want to give you pictures of ice walls all day long. They show you all these cheesy little ice walls in Antarctica. And you realize as you continue to follow them, they end. They run into land. They start to melt down. And then people that dive, they realize they don't even go all the way to the bottom. You know, they don't. And those are constantly being replaced. It's just ice that lands on the mountains getting pushed into the ocean because it's so cold, it starts turning into a wall. And eventually they crack and fall into the ocean and melt. So it ain't happening. But here's the thing. If it's true that the earth is flat, I'm gonna basically demonstrate with my boy's little toy right here. What is it, a Mandalorian? Oh, it's a Mandalorian? Yes, it's a Mandalorian, all right? I didn't want to use my daughter's Barbie, okay? So I'm gonna stick with this. So let's just say they're like, okay, ours is flat. Okay, like a pizza? Sure enough. Okay, well, think about pizza sauce on a pizza, right? They just kind of have to make it go and basically be smooth. So they can only take it so far. They don't take it all the way to the edge, true? So let's just say they just kind of give them, you know, a flat little hell or whatever. Well, eventually you're gonna run into nothing but land. True? So if the earth is flat and you're at the edge, then hell cannot be beneath you. It just cannot. Eventually, good job. Did I drop it? Did I drop Mr. Mandalorian over here? See? The Lord hates Mandalorians. So what I'm getting at is, flat earth, if you're in the middle, okay, hell's beneath your feet. Maybe towards the edge. Yeah, it's beneath your feet. But at the edge, hell's no longer beneath your feet. Because hell has to at some point stop in order for it to be the heart of the earth. Amen? Unless hell's just spread all the way to the edge, yeah, then you know what? Hell will be beneath you if it's flat and if it's spread all the way to the edge. But then you have no heart. You have no middle. Hell doesn't stop. It just goes all the way to the edge. Uh-uh. At some point, it needs to stop. But what about this bad boy? See, the Bible talks about hell being the heart of the earth. Jesus went into the heart of the earth. 3 days into dancing in the heart of the earth. So we all know, we believe, you know, that inside the earth is what you will call magma, lava, whatever. Bottom line, hell. Bottom line, fire. Liquid fire, true? Explodes out of volcanoes all year long, you know, some worse than others, but that's where we believe this stuff is coming from that blows out of volcanoes, true? The heart. So, this verse, hell beneath, above, hell beneath, talks about in Isaiah 40 that the earth is a circle, we believe it's a globe, hell from beneath, you guys saw it in Isaiah 14. So, this verse is going to work 24/7, 7 days a week, if the earth is a globe. If you're up here, you live on this part of the world, hell's beneath your feet. You live in this part of the world, hell's beneath your feet. You live in this part of the world, hell's beneath your feet. Now you guys following along? You live on this side of the world, hell's beneath you. Hell's beneath, hell's beneath, hell's beneath, hell's beneath, hell's beneath, hell's beneath. Flat earth, hell's no longer beneath. At some point, hey, in order for it to be the heart, it needs to stop. It can't go all the way to the edge. Then it won't make sense with scripture. I know some of you guys are super confused, but bottom line, this is what believe beneath means. Beneath our feet. That's where it's at. And the Bible is to help you escape it, so you don't go there. So you don't spend, I don't know how long it'll be before people get out. Depends when they get in. But, hey, we know some people are going to be there for 1,000 years, you know. Others are going to be there for a little bit longer because they died a long time ago. You know, but bottom line, we know that it's beneath. And if you have your Bible, go to Luke 16. Go to Luke 16. And I'm just going to read from Revelation 21. It says this: "Then I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit." So now it's called Hell Pit. This is talking about hell. So we know that hell is deep in somewhere where it's considered a pit. Amen? And if you're right there in Luke 16, I'll give you some time to get there. While you're going to Luke 16, I'm going to talk about simply the Spanish version of Luke 16. See, it talks about a gulf, you know, a gulf, like a gap. In Spanish, who's my Spanish speaker? Please, somebody speak Spanish. Okay. Espanol, right? Yeah. Now, if you listen or if you read the Spanish version of Luke 16, for the word gulf, you know, or gap, use the word cima, S-I-M-A. Cima. Are you familiar with that word? Cima. If you look at it, it's basically a pozo. You know what a pozo is? There you go. A hole, right? And it says this, terreno. What's terreno? Exactly, terrain. So in Spanish, it's cima. In English, it's gulf. What is it saying? When you look at the definition, it's a pozo. It's a hole in the terrain. But it says, en el terreno. Inside is a hole underneath the ground. Sound familiar? Bottomless pit. Amen. Great gulf affix. Cima, gulf. I'm glad I got a Spanish interpreter. Amen. So you can tell that I'm not lying to you. So let's take a look really quickly at what I'm getting at. Let's look at Luke 16. It says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame." In this flame. So that's a precursor of what I'm going to talk about. Hell is a flame. But Abraham says, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receives thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, a big gap, gigantic hole, so that they which will pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." So we see that it is a great gulf. It's a big hole. And we know that the earth, you know what I'm saying? We know the earth, the inside, is a big gap, a big gigantic pit. And it's filled with hell. And it's pouring out of volcanoes. Through the crust, you probably have Google videos of the ocean floor, and it's cracking open, and it's like all this liquid, orange, red, bright liquid is coming out, and they're like, hey, that's what the earth is filled with. That's what it's about. So when it comes to verses, I think the Bible's giving us an idea where it's at. We believe it's in the heart. But if you don't believe that, if you got your Bible, go to Matthew. Matthew 12. We know that that rich man was in hell. He was in flames. Abraham told him, hey, you're far out there. You're in a great gulf. Spanish, cima. It's nothing more than a hole. It's a pozo. It's a hole. Terreno, terrain. You know, that's where the Spanish version is kind of leading us towards. It's in a hole. It's underneath ground, terrain. And so when we keep looking at scriptures, we can kind of see that, yeah, it's not hard to believe. Hell is in the center of the earth. Here's a perfect example. Matthew 12. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answering, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in his well belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The heart of the earth. Where is that? Well, let's keep looking. Don't go there. But I'll read from Psalm 16. I want you to go to Acts 2. You go to Acts 2, I'm going to read from Psalm 16. So we see in Matthew, Jesus saying, look, I'm going to be in the heart of the earth. The heart's not the top. The heart's not the bottom. The heart's not the size. You know, the heart is the middle. I mean, the human body, where's our heart? Inside our brain? Inside our skull? Is that where the heart is? You understand? Is it in our belly? Is that where our heart is at? You know? Is it in our belly pumping? Yeah, it's not there. Where is it at? Center, right? Middle. So it's hard to believe that hell's in the middle of the earth when it says heart of the earth. It's just so difficult to believe that. Absolutely not. And if the earth is a globe, and it is, now you can see how it's always beneath. Whether you live down here in Africa is beneath. Whether you live up here, North America beneath, Alaska beneath, you know. But if the earth is just nothing but a flat pancake, if you're at the edge, hey, where's the heart of your earth? Where's it at? You know, it's in the middle. Well, how far does it spread before it's no longer the middle? Okay, the middle here? Okay, I'll give you that. Then guess what? Hell's no longer beneath. It's not. It's only beneath if you're in the middle, close to the middle. Once you pass whatever the middle is that they consider on a flat earth, then guess what? No longer beneath. No longer down. Now it's to the side, depending on where you live on earth. But this model, no matter where you live on the planet, no matter where you're at, right? No matter where it spins, guess where you're at? Hell's in the center, and it's always beneath. That verse is true 24/7, 7 days a week, unless you're a flat earther. It's only beneath if you're in the middle. If you're towards the edge, near quote-unquote Antarctica, with the ice walls, if you live near the ice walls, it's not beneath you. Where's that in Scripture? It's beneath 24/7, 7 days a week. Amen? But let me read from Psalms. Psalm says this, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my head is glad and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. So this man is clearly in hell. What's in hell? His body or his soul? His soul. Well, who is this talking about? Well, the Bible tells us who it's talking about. Acts chapter 2, you're there? For David speaketh concerning him. I first saw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. In hell. Neither shall I suffer thy holy one to see corruption. The exact same thing that Psalm 16 said. But we see that Acts 2:25 through 27 doesn't tell us who it is. But keep reading, because verse 30 does tell us who this is talking about. It says, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath. So go ahead and meet me in verse 31. Verse 31 of Acts chapter number 2. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He's seen this before, talking about David, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, and neither his flesh did see corruption. So whose soul is it talking about? The soul of exactly Jesus Christ. Where did Jesus say he was going to be for 3 days and three nights? In the what? On the top of the earth? Exactly, in the heart of the earth. So it doesn't take a genius to put two and two together and realize that Jesus went to the heart of the earth, which is the middle, the inside, and only that, his soul was not left in hell. It was taken out. Amen? So why do we believe that hell is located in the center of the earth? Because that's what Jesus said. Hey, heart of the earth, we can see that he came to taste death for every man. Death is talking about the second death, which is the lake of fire, and that's what he suffered. He suffered an eternity of hell in those 3 days and three nights, and sure enough, he was resurrected 3 days later. So it's not hard to figure out where hell is at. But what does Islam teach about hell in regards to where it's really located? Are they as accurate as the Bible? I mean, kids, that's your options. You want to believe in Islam? Go right ahead. But it doesn't touch the Bible when it comes to describing hell. It's far more superior and infinitely superior to any book. Any book. And guess what? These scriptures are either just a lucky coincidence that hell is beneath our feet, it's fire, it's flames, it's in the center. It's either a coincidence or it's of God. Because how could somebody know this stuff thousands of years ago? How could they have known this? Unless it was revealed to them by somebody who knew about it and who knows more about it than God himself. Amen? So build your confidence that, hey, the Bible talks a lot about hell. And this information, when I was brand new, I didn't know. I was so grateful people taught it to me. I'm like, wow, I knew the Bible talked about hell, but I didn't realize it was to this detail, and it built more of my faith, not less of my faith. So preaching on hell doesn't hurt people's faith. Doesn't scare them away. It helps them when they realize, sure are these the words of God. These are the words of eternal life. This book is amazing. Amen? Amen. Not like the scientists. This book is amazing. You know, the evolution of animals by Darwin or whatever. Our book motivates us just like their books motivate them. But theirs is foolishness. Ours is amazing. Ours is real. Theirs is not. Theirs is fantasy, like this Mandalorian, right? But what is hell? Now, I'm not trying to preach to the choir. I'm going through these verses because then I'm going to show you how to use them with the unsaved. And like I said, what was the goal? The goal is to make you better soul winners. That's the whole reason I'm here. That's why I'm preaching on this, because it's helped me be a better soul winner, and I'll explain why. And my daughter says, hey, yeah, you know, teach them about that because it'll help them, just like it helped us when you were dealing with the Mormon, now soul winning. That's why she made me preach this. Well, she didn't make me, but you guys understand what I'm saying. She motivated me. 24 minutes into it, like I said, my ghost will be done by 8:15 at the latest. But I don't want to bore you guys, so I might finish in 5 minutes. I'm just kidding. So if you're a Mark, if not, get there. If not, then just follow along, but meet me. I would say meet me in verse 48. But if you can catch up, I'm going to start in verse 43, and then meet me wherever you can. But if not, just go to 48. I'll meet you there sooner or later. So I'm going to start out by reading from Mark 9:43 that says this, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter whole into life than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. With the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter hold into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God. That's a little bit of good news. I mean, everything else is kind of, I mean, it is bad. But kingdom of God. And that's where you die. I mean, that's where you go when you die. Either kingdom of God or the other place. Here's the other place. It is better for thee to enter into kingdom of God one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire. And every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Maybe that's the verse that they use. You know, maybe that's what Islam saw in the Bible. It's like, hey, the Bible teaches it as well. Every believer will go to hell. Here it is. For everyone shall be salted with fire. I'm not sure, but I'm just throwing it out there. I'm thinking, what would they use if they were to use the Bible to try to convince us believers that everyone's going to be salted with fire? Because that's what they believe. Because think about that. If they're right, how crazy is that? I mean, you must be some mental, like Superman to be able to block that out, knowing that sooner or later, fire is coming. Fire is coming. No matter what you do, no matter how good you live, no matter how good your children are, they will burn in hell. They're going to be screaming in torture. Who knows how long? Could be a million, could be a billion, could be a trillion, who knows? Only Allah knows. Like, it's such a small thing. A trillion years, buddy. You should see how his face basically said it. Could be a trillion. Who knows? Like, he's like, I'm not spending a trillion in hell. You're right, you're not, Mr. Muslim teacher. You're going to spend an eternity of hell. Trillions upon trillions upon trillions of years. That's where you're going to spend. Never to get out. So his little cocky, stupid face, you know, makes me think that he thinks he's going to be there for an hour or so. Because he's a prophet of Allah. I'm teaching the truth. I'm teaching you that you're going to burn in hell. And there's no hope. And eventually you'll get out. Who knows when? Could be a trillion. Sucks to be you. So what do we got? Let's go back to 43, please. Well, I'll just give you the heads up. I'll give you the highlights. From 43 to 49, Christ uses the word, this is Christ's teaching, uses the word hell three times. Six times he says it's fire. So the Muslims are right. Hell is fire. Like he said, hell fire. He's right. He's right. I bet you that's where they got it from. Because this is older than their book, right? Isn't Matthew way older than their Quran? So I wonder where they stole it from. Hellfire. He uses the word hellfire. I don't even know if the Quran says that, but I can confirm it. The Bible does say hellfire. So this dude is right. Six times he says fire, but you know what? Five times, it says that it's eternal. It'll never, ever, ever quench. Not that it'll last a million, a billion, a trillion. And then Jesus finishes it off, but only Allah knows. That's not what Jesus taught. So if I'm going to believe Jesus or this dude on YouTube with a crappy looking beard and a funny looking hat and a white dress, if he were to stand up, it would be a dress. If I'm going to believe this dude or Christ, I think I'll go with Christ. I think I'll stick with Christ. I think he knew what he was talking about thousands of years before science even started to brag that they figured out that the earth is filled with magma, lava, whatever. Before they started like proclaim through their gamma rays and x-rays that they penetrated and they realized that the center of the earth is hotter than the surface of the sun. Who's read that? That's what they claim. That's what scientific books claim. Center of the earth, hotter than the surface of the sun. Now, I don't know how they can figure that out, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Hell, I'll give you 10,000 degrees. They claim that the center of the earth is 25,000 degrees. Does that sound like I want to be in there for a trillion years? I mean, who wants their kids to be in there for even a year? Think about that. But eventually you'll get out. Don't worry, folks. Eventually we'll be out. But isn't that what Mormons believe? Jehovah's Witnesses believe? And see, here's the thing. Even some quote-unquote Baptist, you know, Bounty Perry, even believe. The hell's not eternal. It's just some crazy end-time strong delusion. Because how could you read these scriptures and not realize when Jesus says hell into the fire that never shall be quenched, you leave walking away, hell's not forever. Excuse me if I doubt your salvation and your follower's salvation. I'm not saying they're unsaved, but excuse me if you make me doubt it. Because how clear can it be? But you know what? That just leads me into other verses. What is the length of hell? Let me just quickly read this. If you got your Bible, go to Revelation 14. Revelation 14. So what have we covered so far? Well, where is hell? We believe it's in the heart of the earth, just like Christ said. Amen. We believe that hell is fire, just like Christ said. And we also believe that hell's not a million, a billion, or a trillion years. We believe, like Christ says, it's fire that'll never be quenched. And what does it say in Scripture? Matthew 25:41, one of my favorite verses to show people that it's forever. Then shall you also say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Key word, everlasting. Lasts forever. Not temporal. Ever. Everlasting. Yeah, but that's not talking about believers. Well, we'll take a look. And the devil that deceived them, you guys are in Revelation 14. I'm going to read from Revelation 20. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. He's preaching to the believers here. That's who he's preaching to. He says, hey, the unsaved, guess where they're going? He's never said, hey, you believers, you're going to go to hell. Christ never said that anywhere. In fact, he says the opposite. He says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. What if a Christian commits a very horrible sin? Never perish, but they'll be punished. They'll be punished. What if a Christian steals? Punished, but they're not going to perish. What if a person even kills, or a Christian even kills, or a true believer even kills? Hey, they'll be punished, but they're not going to perish in hell. They're not. It's just what Christ said. They'll never perish, but they will be punished. That's what the Bible says. Eventually, they will be punished, because whom the Lord loveth, not whom the Lord hates, whom the Lord loveth, he chastises. And if you're without chastisement, you're not a son, you're a bastard. But guess what? Even unsaved people suffer for their sins. You know, so one way or another, a Christian will suffer if obviously they do something that's really bad, they're going to receive a really big punishment. You know, if they do something small, hey, it's going to be a few stripes. But nevertheless, no one's without chastisement. We all reap what we sow, amen? So what did we see in Revelation 20? It's going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Matthew 25:46. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. The Jehovah's Witnesses think, oh, you'll just be destroyed. It's over. It's gone. No, it's everlasting. It means it'll never end. This destruction never ends. Based on the other verses, everlasting fire that's prepared for the devil and his angels. And it says that they're going to be punished forever and ever in the presence of the Lamb. That's Christ. Revelation 14:10 says this. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of his indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of the torment ascendeth up forever and ever. I had to throw that one in there because of Pastor Shelley. You know, when he did the Lake and Fire Landmarks episode, he brought that up. It says their smoke ascendeth forever and ever. So this one made me think of him. I'm like, I got to put this in there. This is inspired by Pastor Shelley, amen. Matthew 18:8 says this, wherefore thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off, or cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, hold or remain, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And I mean, you guys already know this. I'm not teaching you anything new. Maybe some things were new, but my goal is not to teach you something new. It's just to refresh these things, to strengthen our faith that, hey, we got the truth. We know what we're talking about. Islam does not know what they're talking about. Neither do Mormons or whoever else. You know, we got the truth. We know what we worship. They have no clue what they're worshiping. But what does the scripture say? Revelation 21:7-8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So who deserves hell? We all do. We all do. How do we know? Because the Bible even says this. And there shall no wise enter into it anything. Talk about the kingdom of God in the future. Nothing's going to enter into it that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Not maketh a bunch of lies, just a lie is enough to keep you out. Keep you out.
This is impossible, but let's just say it was possible.
Somebody lives a wonderful life and all they did was tell one lie. Well, guess what? You're out. The only way is to fix yourself. How do you fix yourself? With the blood of Christ. That's it. There's no other way. And we already know the way sin is death. We already know this. And because of that, nobody deserves heaven. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, none of us. Anybody who's just honest enough with themselves will say, yeah, I've done wrong. And people that are really honest with themselves, I'll probably do wrong every day. And people that are super, super honest with themselves are like, man, I don't know. Right? At this stage, if God counts our thoughts, I'll probably sin every hour. True or false? You know, it's like, man, what does Bible does say? The thought of foolishness is sin. You know, so he does count your thoughts. You know, so the odds of you going an hour without a foot. Now, I'm not talking about a, like, lust or a wicked imagination. I'm talking about a dumb thought. A dumb thought. Just something dumb. Like what, brother, girl? I don't know. I always use the example. Throwing your kid in the air like 10 feet trying to catch him, you know? That's what I like to do. I like my son. Like, yeah. Well, it's like, foolish, foolish. I'm like, you're right. If I drop him, it's going to crack his skull. All right, sin. I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. You know? So that's just something silly, right? But isn't it dumb? Isn't it foolish? Come on. I mean, would you trust me throwing your baby 20 feet in the air? No. How about 10? No. How about 5? No. Do you trust yourself tossing him up 20 feet in the air? Probably. But have you done it? But you know what? The action is sinful. The thought is sinful, too. Let's just face it. Come on. It's foolish. It's fun, but it's foolish. Right? Mom is like, I can't see. Dad is like, oh, new record. Right?
Yeah.
Stupid. Let's stop doing that, man. But that's just a dumb thing. But the thought of doing it is dumb. That's the best I can give you by, you know, not getting too crazy with it. So we already know. Where is hell? We believe it's in the center of the earth. What is hell? We believe it's fire. How long is hell? Forever. Who is hell for? Everyone deserves it. But not everyone's going to hell. Next thing. What do we need to do to be saved from hell? Acts 16:29, the story of Paul and Silas simply says this. Brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We know that. I'm preaching to the choir. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, Christ saying, look, I need to be crucified. I need to be lifted up and crucified. Why? Why? So that whosoever, that means Islam, whoever, doesn't matter what country, African country, Chinese, doesn't matter, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. We're not automatically saved, but he came to die so that we can all have a chance to be saved. But what's going to cause us to go to hell? The fact that we don't pray? That guy says, because you don't pray, you're not a believer. You don't pray, you're not a believer. I wonder how many times he prays. I wonder if he prays every day. Even if he did, he's still going to hell because he's rejecting what the Bible says, that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe that. But Allah had no son. Well, you better repent or you're going to suffer this fate. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And you better believe what the Son says. And what did the Son say? He that believeth on me has everlasting life. What is he preaching? Christ is preaching, once saved, always saved. Give me a once saved, always saved verse. He that believeth on me has everlasting life. Everlasting life. That's clear as day. I don't know what else to tell you. Oh, yeah? Well, how about this one? And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Well, never doesn't really mean never. Well, it means never to me. John 11, Jesus said unto her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You'll never die. And we're talking about death, spiritual death. Revelation 20:14. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So who's going to be cast into the lake of fire? Those are not in the book of life. How do you get in the book of life? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing the gospel. Eternal life is not a reward by praying 5 times a day or whatever the case may be. You know, by obeying whatever commandments. Definitely not by purging for your sins. That's not what the Bible teaches. Christ came to purge us, you know, from our sins. Because we can't purge ourselves from our sins. If we could purge ourselves from our sins, why would he have ever died? It was a waste of time. Like the Bible says, he died in vain. If we can purge our sins by being in hell for a trillion years, why would you even come? Why? And so what is this guy teaching on YouTube? That it doesn't matter if you believe even in Islam or Allah. Eventually, you're going to get out. Eventually, it's going to be over. If you're a true believer, but his definition of believer is different from the Bible. He's way off. But what did Jesus say? Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So clearly we got a lot of information in regards to hell. But here's one crazy thing that's been happening lately. I've just been changing a little bit of my soul winning approach and been asking people, what do you believe hell is? Because just recently, it's been crazy the stuff that people have been saying. People would say, I believe in hell. It's crazy. We'll start with something small. Go up to the door. You know what? If you die, where are you going to go? Heaven or hell? I'm not sure. You know, can I show you what the Bible says? Absolutely. Well, let me quickly show you. Steps 1, 2, and 3. Basically, you'll get to the point where just in his death. Let's talk about a second death, which is the lake of fire. You know, let's talk about hell. Do you believe in hell? Absolutely do believe in hell. Like with confidence, they say it. Absolutely, I believe in hell. Well, what do you believe hell is? You know what? I don't know. I'm not even making this stuff up. I don't know. Or the other one. Well, what do you believe hell is? Do you believe in hell? Absolutely, I believe in hell. What do you believe hell is? You know what? This life is hell. Right? Yeah. This life is hell. It's like, whoa. It's like, let me show you what the Bible says about hell really quickly. You know? And sure enough, talk to another person. What do you believe hell is? Well, I believe it's a really dark place separated from God. Do you believe it's fire? No. Do you believe fire? I'm not sure. These are people that claim to be Christians. I'm not joking around. I'm not even talking about Mormons or Muslims or whatever. I'm talking to people who go to church anywhere. I do. What church you go to? I'll go to such and such church, Christian church, whatever. You know? Do you believe in hell? I do. What do you believe hell is? You know what? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. It's crazy, but it's not new. Let me give you an example. About maybe longer, I've been in Faithful War for what, 11, 12 years? It goes far. Let's just say 10. I've been Faithful War more than 10 years. So this happened more than 10 years ago. Brand new soul winner, trying to figure out how to do it well. Went soul winning with the assistant pastor of my church back in Northern California. The assistant pastor grew up in a Christian home, high school, went to Bible college, graduated Bible college, been the assistant pastor of the church at that time for maybe 2 or 3 years. I wouldn't be surprised if it was 5 years. So it was Tuesday night soul winning, which was really Tuesday night visitation. We didn't go soul winning. It's like, hey, we got these visitors, visitors' cars. Let's go say hi, bring them a cup with some Hershey's or whatever, some Skittles, something to just kind of break the ice. It was just kind of just to break the ice, not because it was a cool gift or whatever. But this one guy in particular, his name was Thomas. So Thomas filled out the visitor card, gives it to us. Sure enough, they give it to us on Tuesday. Hey, go see how this guy's doing. You know, he came, visited us, whatever. I'm like, okay, I went. I was a silent partner. Knock on the door, guy comes out. And then sure enough, he didn't know who we were. So the assistant pastor introduced himself. Hey, my name is such and such. You know, you just visited our church on Sunday. We just kind of wanted to come by and see what you thought of it. And this is what the guy said. He says, it was okay. I liked it. But you know what? That pastor, you know, I think he just preaches on hell to scare people into coming. That's what he says. And he says, because I don't believe hell is that simple. And I don't believe hell is a place where God is going to punish somebody forever. And he says, well, I'm sorry you believe that, but you know what? Where would you go if you died? He's like, well, I'm not really too sure. He said, mind if I quickly just show you what the Bible says? And he's like, sure. And he went through everything. But you know what he didn't cover? He didn't cover anything about hell. He didn't cover it. So here he is talking to a guy. Goes through everything. The guy says, yep, I believe I'm a sinner. Yeah, I deserve hell. And he just continued on with the gospel. At the end, is, do you believe this? Yes, I do. You believe you're a sinner? You believe you're a sinner? Yeah, I do. I do. You know, you believe you just died? I do. Resurrected? I do. Eternal life is a gift? I do. You want that gift? I do. Well, let me ask you this. If you pray and ask God to give it to you, you believe he'll do it? He will. I believe he will. And if he gives you, take it away. Never take it away. But that's what we believe, that I want to pray with you. Would you like to pray? Sure, no problem. Ends up praying with this guy. Not once did he address the fact that he didn't believe hell was real. Not once did he address the fact that hell was fire. Didn't even bring it up. Didn't even care. He just went through the motions. The guy prayed, and I'm thinking, he's not saved. This guy's attacking your dad. Basically, his issue is that your dad is scaring people into coming because your dad was preaching about hell, and he was giving people the reality of hell, the hell of the Bible. And yet, you're going to pray with this guy? And I didn't say anything about it. I just kind of stood by and said, whatever. And so, sure enough, he prays with him. Next day was service, I believe. I think we ended up visiting him on a Tuesday, but he visited on Sunday. Then this is Wednesday night service. So the guy comes on a Wednesday night service. And sure enough, it was kind of like he was pushed into just like saying, oh, yeah, I'm saved. Because then he brought it up during the announcements. Thomas just recently got saved. Right, Thomas? Yeah. You know? And I'm thinking, no way. This dude doesn't even believe in the hell of the Bible. Why is that important? Because if you don't believe hell is forever, you're basically saying that it's not even important if you really trust Christ or not. Because what are you getting saved from? A dark place that eventually is going to end? Because that's what he said. I don't believe it's fire. I don't believe it's forever. I don't believe a loving God will send somebody to hell forever. But is that what we've seen so far? No, Christ warned people. It's forever. It's forever. It's fire. It's for the devil and his angels. Like, I don't want you to go there. And you're thinking, no way does that really happen. Okay, well, here's what happened again. A few years later, we're giving this lady a ride. She's been at the church for maybe 20-something years, maybe more. And she started to give us her testimony. We never gave her a ride before. She usually had a car. This time it broke down. So we're just driving her home, me and my wife, and she gives her testimony, and this is what she said. She said, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad somebody gave me the gospel. And the guy that gave me the gospel, he did a great job. I didn't believe in hell when he talked to me, but I don't believe a person needs to believe in hell in order to get saved. Is that true? Is that reality? No. You need to believe in hell. You need to believe you deserve it. You need to believe that if you don't get saved, you're going to be in it forever. I mean, why else would you need to get saved with a D at the end if it's going to end up, you know, eventually ceasing to exist? And so me and my wife looked at each other like, this woman's not saved. And she never went soul winning. And she was a goofball. She didn't really understand scripture. She had a problem with a lot of verses. And I could tell you it's because she has a veil over her eyes. Very difficult to understand the scriptures. And you're thinking, what in the world, brother girl? But not our new movement, not the new independent fundamental King James, only King James soul winning Baptist movement that we're currently in, right? Surely that doesn't happen in our movement. I'll give you a story. Not that very old. But it is a story that it did happen. Went soul winning. Ran into a couple of kids. Went through my gospel presentation, and I asked them if they believed in hell, and they both looked at each other like, we're not really sure if it exists. Not really sure. So I sure enough went to Mark 9, explained to them, taught them, hey, he says hell three times, or it says hell three times, says it's fire six times, and says that it's eternal five times. He's like, do you think he's just messing around? They're like, oh, no. But do you believe now that hell is fire? It's forever? Oh, yeah, we believe it now. Continue on, ended up getting them saved. As they're basically wrapping it up with me, or maybe a little bit afterwards, you know, they end up just waving at a couple of people. And they're just like, hey, they're waving back. And I'm just kind of like, they're just standing there waiting to finish. Hey, what's up, et cetera, et cetera. And then we continue on. So I believe after that, I ended up praying with them. Sure enough, double check with them. Hey, make sure you tell people that hell's forever, et cetera. They're like, yeah, we're going to let them know from now on. Thanks for letting them know about hell because we weren't sure about it. And we're like, okay, no problem. And you want to know who they were waving at? You want to know who they were like, hey, you know, right before I prayed with them? It was our other soul winners. And you're like, so what? Here's what happened. They went their way. I went back to the group. And guess what the soul winner said? Hey, those kids, we got them saved yesterday. Yesterday. I'm like, well, that's funny because they didn't even believe in hell. That's interesting. Did you bring that up? I did. Did you explain it to them? No, we didn't. He's like, you know what? Now think about it. We didn't even double check to see if they believe that it was the correct hell. But here's the thing. When we asked these kids, if you die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Guess what they said? We're not sure. So in less than 24 hours, they just started doubting your salvation? Now I know you can doubt your salvation. I believe you can. If you go to a bad church and they keep, you know, bringing in these false preachers, you got to repent of your sins. If you don't turn, you're going to burn. And that has happened. That has happened. That happened in my church. Pastor didn't believe like this guy. Brings in a guest preacher. You need to repent of your sins. I'm like, what? You need to turn and burn. I'm like, what? I didn't turn from my sins. I continued sin after I got saved. He's like, if that's salvation, I'm not saved. But I thought it was a gift. So, of course, what kept me nice and anchored? What the Bible says, that eternal life is the gift. So that's what kept me from ever going full into their stupid deep doctrine of repent. But that guy was never invited again. I wonder why. But it does happen. You know, you can doubt your salvation. If you get into sin, you get backslidden. Hey, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the what? So guess what? Doubt comes by not hearing and not hearing the word of God. You get backslidden, you leave, you start living like the devil. You can wonder, am I even saved? I have no victory over the smallest things. I lust like crazy. I cuss like a sailor. I'm thinking of doing whatever again. You know, am I even saved? The only way you can get to that point is if you're just backslidden and you start forgetting the promises of God. You can wonder, am I even saved? And then when somebody comes around and just whatever, no, man, it's eternal as a gift. What am I thinking? You're right. He's like, that's what I believe. Oh, man, I have to get back into church. I don't want to live like this, half in, half out. It is possible to doubt your salvation because of many different things or whatever. But come on, 24 hours, not even 24 hours later, these kids are down their salvation. I'm not saying that, hey, you know, the soul winners did a horrible job. Hey, at least they did something. But here's the miracle about it. We ran into these kids at a totally different city, 25 minutes away. I think God just jumped in there. Because it's like, what's the next city that's about 25 minutes away?
Richmond,
right? I don't know this area that well. But let's just say you got a couple of kids saved outside your door, right? Then you go soul winning the next day in Richmond, 25 minutes away. And another team runs into those kids, ends up getting them saved. That's what happened. That's what happened. I didn't even know that these kids already spoke to our soul winners. We're in a completely different city, 25 minutes away, happened to come across their path. They didn't know they were going to heaven. They didn't even believe in hell. They weren't even sure what hell was. And yet these other soul winners, when we walk up to them, it's like, hey, those kids, we got them saved yesterday. I'm like, that's funny. They didn't even think they were saved. They weren't sure. That's why I kept talking to them. When I asked them about hell, they didn't even know what it was. But go catch up to them and ask them about hell now. And if you're thinking, surely this doesn't really happen that often, do you? Well, I don't know. But it seems like some people are kind of afraid to talk about hell a little bit more than others. And my whole goal is to embolden you guys into speaking up a little bit more, because we're living in crazy times.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, it's just crazy. You know, and it's not that difficult. One of the things I've been doing lately on my soul winning, ask people if they've ever been to a Baptist church. You know, I just say, hey, my name is Chris, these are my kids, just inviting people to church. Want to stop by giving an invitation? Do you guys go to church anywhere? Yeah, we do. Where do you guys go? We go to blah, blah, blah church. Ever been to a Baptist church? Well, the most important thing to us is make sure people go to heaven. That's where we're knocking doors. Because think about it, we're all going to die one day, but what if you die today? Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? No, not really. Well, you know what? You got about 5 minutes. I'm sure you're busy, but if you got about 5 minutes, I'd love to show you what the Bible says you need to do so you can be 100% sure. Well, I don't got 5 minutes. You know, it's like, well, maybe some other time. Well, can I show you just one verse in the back of that? Yeah, no problem. Well, let me show you one thing. The Bible says that none of us are perfect. We're all sinners. I'm sure you believe that. Yeah, but even though we're sinners, the Bible says that Christ died for us. It says God commits his love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us, and he died for us for two reasons. This is how I'm going to get into hell. One, because he really loves you. And he's like, yeah, I know that. Woo, yeah, man. Thanks for telling me something I already know. Yeah, because God really loves you. It says God commits his love towards us. And the other reason is because there's a hell. That's what happens. Yeah, he died for you for two reasons. One, because he really loves you, and two, because there's a hell. Do you believe in hell? Yeah. What do you believe hell is? I don't know. I have no clue. You know? He's like, well, let me show you some verses on hell really quickly, because I think you need to know them. Quickly show it to them. And they're like, oh, okay. Wow. Man, I didn't know that. And then just wrap it up. But this is what I believe. Believe the same thing? Yeah, I kind of believe it. You know, you understand none of us are perfect. We're all sinners. You already know that, right? Christ died, 3 days resurrected. And why did he die? Yeah, because he loves you, and because of what? There's a hell. He doesn't want you to go. He wants to be saved from hell. You know, and then sure enough, I end up getting him the gospel and end up getting saved. And when she said, preach to them and tell them about the Mormon. Okay. Going to a guy's house, right? Super cocky Mormon. You know, just tall dude, whatever, big house. You know what it is. Sure enough, the guy's just like, no, I'm pretty sure I'm going to heaven, man. I'm pretty sure. Oh, yeah? Well, look, the Bible says that you can know for sure. If you got about 5 minutes, and I'm sure you're busy, at least show the verses to be 100% sure. Because he didn't say I was 100% sure. He said, I'm pretty sure. We're pretty sure it's not 100%. So that's kind of what I bring up next. Hey, I can help you be 100%. You know? It's like, you got a little bit of time? I'm pretty busy. Well, can I show you one verse? I'll give you 2 minutes. What the guy says, I'll give you 2 minutes right now. All right, no problem. Flip my invitation around. Just skip verse point one and two, that we're all sinners. Even though we're sinners, Christ died for us. Then I get to the point where it says, look, the reason he died for us, two reasons. One, because he really loves you, and two, because there's a hell. Do you believe in hell? Yes, I do. What do you believe hell is? Well, I believe there's many levels of hell, and the hell is ultimately separation from God. That's what this guy says. He's like, well, Christ, you know, made it clear what hell was, and then I went to talk about hell. And then at that point, he's like, forever? Forever? Okay. Keep going. He let me go for another 8 minutes. And at the end of it all, I explained the gospel as best I could. And he said, you know what? I told you 2, but I'm very glad I gave you 10. You know? He's like, I am grateful that you taught me this. I'm really, I'm serious. You know? It's like, hey, young ladies, kids, okay, hey, you guys are doing a great job. You know what? I have to think about that. You know, I have to think about that. He didn't cut me off. He didn't say whatever. I just kind of kept going. At that point, I kind of looked at him like, hey, can I show you more? Yeah, go ahead. And he continued on, because they don't get taught this stuff. They don't. They're like, oh, eventually everybody's going to get out of hell. We need to get baptized in their name. They'll get out. And who knows whatever goofball beliefs they have. You know, but Mark 9 is a good one to bring up and show them. Now, if they believe in hell, great. They got the right hell, great. They believe as far as eternal, you go in, you're not coming out, great. I don't park it there. But if I come across a person who says, I'm not sure, I'm going to park it there. Mark 9, maybe Matthew 25:41 that says, "His everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." All I'm saying is this, try it out and see what happens. Try it out and see what happens. Because it happened to our soul winners. You understand? Those kids did not get saved. And it's not that they were out to do it. They were new someone here. So I just tell them, hey, just be careful with them telling you, yes, I believe in hell. Don't just assume it's the hell of the Bible. You know, because the hell of the Islamic world is a temporary hell. They have nothing to really ultimately be afraid of. They don't. So they don't have an urgency. See, if a person doesn't believe they're drowning, guess what? They're not going to want to get saved. They're going to get annoyed by you throwing them, what do you call them, lifesavers? Wow, ran the head, boom, what are you doing? You know? But if a person thinks they're in danger, it'll be like my wife, you know? Just recently she woke me up like, hey, somebody's trying to break into the house. I'm like, whoa, whoa, where's the gun? Closet. Where is it? You know? Where? Where? Outside, outside. And there's somebody like, I'm like, oh, crap, what is he trying to break in? I'm like, whoa. Whoa, what's up, what's up? I'm like, it's upstairs. All right, don't, like, trying to pie this guy. And I'm like, dang, I don't see nothing. Upstairs, where is he, where is he? It's like, oh, man, boom, 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 whoa, he's making noise. Dude, they're breaking into our stinking filter and trying to steal our copper. I'm like, oh, man, what's up, what's up? You know, I'm just like, oh, I'm going to get him, dude. I'm like, where's my dog? Why isn't my dog barking? I'm like, dude, why aren't you barking? I'm going to make a suit out of you as soon as this is over. You know, and I'm just kind of like, bam, and just pie and pie. I'm like, all right, I got to check this out. All right, honey, I'm going outside. Get ready to call 911. Boom. Bum, 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 bum. Ah! And it's just nothing more than our dumpster. It was super windy, you know, and it's just like, and I thought somebody trying to break in. I'm like, oh, whoa. I'm just like, honey, it's the dumpster, put it in, back to bed. Never happened, never has happened before, you know. But she thought we were in real danger. She's like, honey, honey, someone's trying to break into the house. Look at the noise. What? Where's the gun? You know? Same thing. Some save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for everything that you've done. Lord, we ask you to be merciful unto us and just help us to win a lot of people to you. And Lord, we know that we need to preach the entire gospel and to preach it boldly and not be afraid. And so, Lord, I ask you to just build our boldness and our wisdom and help us to get the job done. And Lord, this topic on hell is under attack like crazy. Crazy how the devil has fooled people into thinking that hell is not such a big deal. But that's the whole reason he came. You know, because we deserve hell. And Lord, believers are not going to go there. But unbelievers will for all eternity. So help us to fight this big lie and help us to get good at soul winning and get better. And Lord, the people that are here, they're here for a reason because they really love you and they want to do something big in their lives. And I want you to use them. And Father, I ask you to do so as well. And I thank you so much, and I ask you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to bless these people here. And not just that, Father, you know, all of the people that are serious throughout the world about winning souls, I pray this time that you just build their wisdom and help us all to be able to win as many people to the Lord to you. And we ask you to do all this. In Jesus' name, amen.